Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. You know, Thanksgiving is one of those holidays that sometimes gets overshadowed because Christmas, and everybody wants to start decorating for Christmas, celebrating Christmas, getting ready for Christmas, and Thanksgiving doesn't get its due. My wife, Debbie, she said, should I decorate early? And I said, well, Debbie, you like Thanksgiving, so let's just give Thanksgiving its due. And we had everybody in on Thanksgiving Day and had a wonderful time with the grandkids. And just a lot of fun. And as my friend Larry Nobles, who is the voice of From His Heart Ministries Radio, he's our announcer, he said, hey, when you get grandkids, he said, you love to see their headlights and you love to see their taillights. And so Debbie and I were noticing with the boys, Jack is 3 and Chase is 1.5. And you know, they just can destroy a place in a matter of minutes and just stuff all over the floor. And, you know, they play with it for a few minutes and then they're on to the next thing. And it just can be a lot when you're not used to that. And when you're in the baby mode and you're a young parent, well, you're just used to the chaos. But grandparents are typically not as used to the chaos. And so it is a blessing when they come. And it's a blessing when, you know, they say, hey, it's time to go. And so we rejoice at family time. And it was a big weekend for our household in that Texas A&M played the University of Texas in football on Saturday. It was a big rivalry weekend if you kept up with college football. And that's a big rivalry for us and our family. Debbie's a graduate of Texas A&M and College Station, and I'm a graduate of the University of Texas in Austin. And so she doesn't follow college football like I do. So, you know, it was much more important that my team won versus her team, although she did want the Aggies to win because she's from there. And it was a tight game. Shouldn't have been, but it was a tight game. UT finally won 17-7. And so that was a great blessing. We had a great day at church yesterday. I had my friend, Dr. David Allen, the preaching coach. He was preaching for me to give me a Thanksgiving weekend break from preparing, and preached an excellent sermon on Philippians 2, that passage that says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So did a great job with that. Well, the big news, as you heard at the top of the hour, as you have no doubt seen on all the news programs and headlines and things, is President Biden. He said he was not going to intervene, was not going to pardon his son, Hunter. Well, guess what? He pardoned his son, Hunter, doing exactly what he said he wouldn't do. Now, it wasn't too long ago that someone asked his press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, about the fact that is President Biden going to pardon Hunter? This was her response.
The president would not pardon or commute sentences for his son, Hunter. I just want to make sure that is not going to change over the next 6 months. The president's saying
still,
he would not.
It's still a no. It's still a no.
It will always be a no.
It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no. And I don't have anything else to add. Will he pardon his son? No.
That was Karine Jean-Pierre saying just a few months ago, will he pardon his son? No. It's a no. It's no. It's no. But it changed. And now it is a yes, and he pardoned his son. So that got me to thinking. I want to talk in the program today and then take your calls, but I want to pose this question. How gullible are you? How gullible are you? We don't like for people to say that we are gullible. The word gullible means easily persuaded to believe something, easily tricked. To accept things without proof. That is a gullible person. Now, what does the Bible say about that? Proverbs 14, verse 15 says, fools believe every word they hear, but wise people think carefully about everything. Let me say that again. Proverbs 14:15. This is in the ERV, easy to read version. There's actually a Bible translation called the easy to read version, and even though it sounds like Bible for dummies, it's a really good translation. So fools believe every word they hear, but wise people think carefully about everything. Or as it says in the New American Standard, which is the Bible translation I use, the naive believes everything, but the sensible man considers his steps. It's sad, but true, that so many people don't consider their steps. They just believe everything. They don't carefully think through, is this the truth? Discernment is a zero for many, many people. Now, I have a friend from my high school days, and I got in a back and forth with this person regarding their big Democrats, big liberals, liberal theology, liberal in their politics, liberal socially, all these things. And this person was commenting on a post that this pastor made, and a pastor in Austin who is pro-gay, pro-abortion. I mean, I use pastor loosely. But this pastor had written an article, and one of the lines, he was very upset about, obviously, that Donald Trump got elected as president. And, you know, we've been hearing from the left about why the country's racist, the country's misogynist, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the country's horrible. Everybody that voted for Trump is a horrible person, that kind of thing. Rather than, as Bill Maher says, big liberal Bill Maher, hey, we need to look in the mirror. Why is this? You can blame them, or you can say, what is it about our message that's not resonating with people? Well, this pastor was lamenting things, and then he said the message of Jesus, he made this comment, the message of Jesus is love only, love period. That is his message. Anything other than love period is a lie, because that's all Jesus was about, was love, 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 love. And so I want to get this right, make sure I don't. So the strongest, this is what he wrote, the strongest rebuttal of Christian nationalism comes from those who realize Jesus did not teach moralism, dogma, or magical rituals. He taught love, period. Well, I took issue with that. I don't normally do that on Facebook where I start commenting on people's stuff, but I took issue with that, and I said, that's a very misleading statement. He taught love, period. I said, Jesus is love. He's God, and God is love. But to try and boil down the Bible and say it's just all love, and when people say that, especially somebody coming from this liberal pro-abortion, pro-transgenderism, pro-gay, pro all these things that the Bible is against, and they're for, and, you know, it's kind of like the group Evangelicals for Harris. You need to check what they mean by evangelical, because as John MacArthur has said, the platform of the Democrat Party is the sins of Romans 1. That's what they build into their party, and no Christian could be for that. But the idea that Jesus is just love, 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 God is love, but the Lord came, as we celebrate at Christmas time, the Lord came, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. Not just grace. And I think a good word, David Allen and I were talking about this just yesterday. You know, a word you have in the Old Testament that doesn't really have a counterpart in the New Testament directly is the word loving kindness. Loving kindness is such a great word from the Hebrew hesed, C-H-E-S-E-D. And hesed is translated in the New American Standard, loving kindness. And it's used over and over and over and over again. I love that word because it's God's love and God's kindness together. And I believe, and David Allen, who is much wiser than I when it comes to theology, he's much more learned than I am, and I defer to him. But he said, you know, I said, David, I think that the New Testament word for loving kindness would be grace. And he said, well, that's not far off. He said that would, you could definitely make that argument. And so Jesus comes, he's full of grace, God's unmerited favor toward undeserving sinners, and truth. He's full of love. He's full of kindness. Grace, what is grace? God's love in action, God's loving kindness toward undeserving sinners, and truth. And so it's very important not to have a one-sided Jesus who is just this big ball of mush. And when liberals, what I have found, when they talk about love, they're not using the definition from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 gives us, really describes love more than it just defines love. But, you know, it says love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered. Now, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 13, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. That's real love. So Jesus just taught love only, love, period. Well, the guy that wrote that is a guy who rejoices in unrighteousness. He, on the website of this guy's church, he pastors a church in Austin, and on the website, they have a big thing, we are for reproductive rights. What is reproductive rights? Reproductive rights is abortion. What is abortion? It's the brutal murder by dismemberment of the innocent unborn. And they're a church who is for the brutal murder by dismemberment of the innocent unborn. Well, that's an anti-church. That's not what Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Whatever that thing is that he heads up is not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're teaching lies, because love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Now think about this. If all Jesus did was go about just teaching love and just a syrupy, sentimental, God turns a blind eye to sin. It's just love, 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 and there, you know, boys will be boys, that kind of attitude. And I just want to tell you how much I love you. And as the He Gets Us campaign said at the Super Bowl, Jesus didn't preach hate, he washed feet. And it's true that he didn't preach hate, and it's true that he washed feet one time with the disciples. But the campaign, He Gets Us, made it sound like all Jesus did was walk around Israel with a big wash basin and just wash everybody's feet. He didn't preach hate, he didn't teach hate, but he elicited a lot of hate. People hated him. And so if you say the message of Jesus is love, period, you're missing what the gospel is all about. Jesus said to his brothers, John 7:7, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me. Why? Because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. And because Jesus, the light of the world, shined the light on people's sin, well, they did not like that at all. He says this in John chapter 3, for everyone who does evil, he says, this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. Jesus exposed people for their sin, and they hated that. Men are like roaches. You turn on the light and they scatter. And they don't want to be exposed. They don't want to be called out for their sin. And Jesus called them out for their sin. He said to the religious leaders, the emperor has no clothes. And they hated him. And they arrested him. And they delivered him up to be crucified. Our question for today, how gullible are you? You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back.
If you are 65 or older, you know this, inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and co-payments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
Do you want God to work a miracle in your life? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Listen, I don't know how God is speaking to your heart and what He's speaking to your heart about, but I know this, He's present, and He's looking for people who will believe Him, who will step up. God shows up when you and I step up.
Let God show up in your life. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
There are many factors influencing your marriage, and a significant component is your birth order and your spouse's as well. On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. Kevin Lehman shares how your birth order can reveal some important clues about your personality and your relationship. Learn more on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
As the world is changing around us, the ministry of AFA is staying anchored in God. If the Lord has gifted you to be a giver, we ask that you remember AFA in your year-end giving. As a good steward, you know the tax advantages of year-end giving. There's a variety of options for giving, ranging from cash gifts to stock donation to real estate. Some of the more creative gifts have earlier tax deadlines, so why not contact a representative of the AFA Foundation today to discuss your year-end gift? They can help you set up your donation now and make it effective by the proper date. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Your support is key to our ministry in Jesus' name. Beat the rush by calling now, 800-326-4543, extension 345.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking about this question, how gullible are you? You know, gullible, if you tell somebody they're gullible, that's not a compliment. They don't like that because that word means easily persuaded to believe something. It means easily tricked. It means accepting things without proof. And in today's world, it is critical that you and I don't accept things without doing our homework, without doing our due diligence. I tell my church often, listen, when you hear me preach, I provide sermon notes for them to follow along with me and supporting scriptures and things like that. I said, check me out. Don't just believe what I say. Check it out. You can read the Bible for yourself. You can look up those verses and see if what I'm telling you is true. Acts 17:11 tells us this about the Bereans. Now, these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, as Paul would preach, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. So they would receive what Paul said, but they verified, is this true? And I implore anybody that's listening to a preacher, check them out. Make sure that what they're saying is true. Now, I agree with John MacArthur, and I love John MacArthur, and he returned to the pulpit Sunday, And a big round of applause, standing ovation from his church. You know, he's been out because he's had a host of health problems and surgeries and things like that. But he was back in the pulpit. John is 80. I think he's 84 years old. In contact with his son, Mark, to do a program with him, just talking about his dad and what it was like growing up in his home and those kinds of things. I think people are interested in that. But, you know, I listen to John MacArthur, not with a mind that says, I believe everything you say. It's with a mind that says, okay, I'm going to hear what you have to say. I'm going to consider what you have to say, and I'm going to research it for myself. So, you know, John MacArthur is a strong Calvinist. I'm not a Calvinist. I believe in certain parts of the tulip. I believe that man is depraved and can't save himself. I believe in total depravity. I don't believe in total inability. In that, if God and when God speaks to a person's heart, when God draws a person, that person, although they're dead in sin, they're still able to respond. As my friend David Allen said, you know, we're dead to sin as believers. But dead to sin doesn't mean you can't still respond to sin, because we always do that. We do that anytime we sin. We're responding to the impulses from our sin nature and from the temptations of the enemy. So being dead doesn't mean you're unable to do anything. Now, it does in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm, we would have to say, okay, dead to sin, but I still battle with this sin nature. As Paul said in Romans 7, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? But that body is dead. That old sin nature is dead. Yes, dead and powerless, but not voiceless. And so even though we're dead to sin, when the Lord illumines us, opens our eyes, we can choose. So I don't believe in total inability. And I don't believe in irresistible grace. I think that we can resist, as Peter or as Stephen in Acts chapter 7 said to the religious leaders, you men who are stiff-necked, always resisting the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that people can and do resist the gospel. I don't believe in limited atonement. I don't believe in unconditional election, where God just chooses and you have no choice in the matter. You know, he just says you're going to be a Christian, and boom, you are, because you can't, who can thwart the purposes of God? But I don't see that in the New Testament. I see that the Lord he invites people to come to him. Revelation 22, you have an invitation. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take from the water of life, and the water of life without cost. And there's an invitation there to come. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so there's the invitation. And our response to that invitation determines whether we're going to spend forever in heaven with Jesus or forever in hell without him. As it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that those who rejected Christ, they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved, but they took pleasure in wickedness. They chose their sin over God's Son. People do it every single day. And so all that to say is this: I can listen to a guy and I can learn from a guy, but I don't have to believe everything he believes. And he may, obviously, he sincerely believes that. And I have a lot of great Calvinist friends. They sincerely believe the 5 points of Calvinism. Well, I would believe 1.5 points, a modified total depravity, and then perseverance of the saints, or really perseverance of the Savior. That means when you're saved, the Lord saves you, he keeps you, he holds on to you. You can't lose your salvation. And so we would have that in common. We would differ on those other points. That doesn't mean we can't still be brothers having fellowship in the Lord. Tom Askell believes 5 points of Calvinism, and he's been on this program many, many times. And he and I would disagree on that, but we agree on the essentials. And I count him a dear friend. And I love to hear the wisdom that God has given him on various issues. So all that says this: receive the word with eagerness, as the Bereans did, but examine the scripture daily to see whether these things are so. And so as I was going back and forth with this person regarding what that pastor, in quotes, pastor, the liberal guy in Austin was saying about Jesus' message is love only. That is love, period. That's all he taught. That's all he preached. You know, well, my point is, well, how did he end up getting crucified? Typically, if you just have a guy that goes around telling everybody how much he loves them and how much God loves them and how they're just wonderful, I'm okay, you're okay kind of message, how does that ruffle feathers? Well, it doesn't. But if you testify to people that their deeds are evil, and if you tell them that God is righteous and that they are wicked, there is none righteous, not even one. When you preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you say, unless you believe I am he, literally I am, Jesus no doubt claimed to be God. They were going to stone him for that. He says, why do you stone me? For a good work we do not stone you, but because you being a man make yourself out to be God. That's why we're stoning you. So he called them out. He told them who he was, and they arrested him. They beat him. They spit in his face. They laughed at him. They mocked him. They brought him to Pilate. They lied about him. They put pressure on Pilate so that he would crucify, give the order to crucify him. They hated him, as Jesus said, they hated me without a cause, just as it is written in their law, John 15, they hated me without a cause. He is love, perfect love, but he's full of grace, God's loving kindness and truth. And without the truth, you can't get saved. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so we have to know the truth. And so as we were going back and forth, this person, who's a friend, I love this person, but I don't believe anything, not much of anything they believe. And this person said to me, well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. And I said, well, that's fine. I said, you know, you can believe anything you want. I can't force you to believe anything. You can believe anything you want. Oprah Winfrey believes that there are many roads to heaven, that all faiths go to the same place. I said, she's free to believe that. She's wrong, but she's free to believe that. And, you know, that what does Jesus say about that? John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That comes from the lips of the one who said, destroy this temple, speaking of the temple in his body, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. And he did. And so you can count and believe that what he says is true. Jesus said in his great high priestly prayer, John 17, sanctify them in the truth, your word. Father, your word is truth. And so we have to constantly go back to the scripture. Now, remember this about the devil. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. Paul says, but I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds should be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. The devil is constantly working on our minds to get us to believe a lie. You know, the Bible tells us, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, a verse I go back to often, talks about, in Hebrews 5, talks about those who are on milk as believers. They're baby Christians. All they can take is milk, just like a little infant can only take milk. And then it says, talks about solid food, talks about meat, the meat of the word. So baby Christian has to have somebody feed them and can only digest milk. And we're to long for the pure milk of the word that by it we may grow with respect to salvation. But just like a baby graduates from milk to cereal to then eating solid food, that's what we do in the Christian life. And that comes from spending time in the word. And so it says in Hebrews 5:14, but solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. And now it was Charles Haddon Spurgeon who said, when the devil comes with his lies, you're not looking for right and wrong. Discernment is between what is right and what is almost right. The devil doesn't come with something that is just so far out in left field. He comes with something that is close to the truth. It just sounds good. It seems very plausible. He doesn't ever tell the truth. He's a liar and the father of lies. The truth is not in him. And whatever he speaks, Jesus said in John chapter 8, he speaks a lie because he's a liar and the father of lies. And he has people that he uses, people that are on the team that the devil uses, false prophets, false teachers that propagate his lies. And so 2 Corinthians 11 that says that don't be deceived by the deceiver who wants to lead you astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. And Paul was talking about the false teachers in Corinth, and he said, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. Just because someone has the title pastor or overseer or elder or bishop or Dr. Reverend so-and-so or Reverend Doctor, however they do it, don't just believe what they say. Verify what they say. Check it out to make sure it is true. Now, I've been working on a new book that's coming out in April, and it was from a series of messages I did a few years ago, and we're calling the book The Devil's Newsroom. And it's exposing the lies of the devil, because all the devil does is tell us lies. And we hear the term fake news. And Donald Trump was the one that came up with that. CNN, you're fake news. MSNBC, you're fake news. NBC, you're fake news. You're fake news to the nth degree, as they doctored Kamala Harris's interview to make her sound more intelligent than she was. I mean, it's just pitiful things. But it's news that is not factual. And it's not true, it's fabricated. And so Donald Trump called that fake news. Well, who's the originator of fake news? The devil. And what is his subject matter? God and eternity. And he tells lies about God, about his person, about his character, about his nature, about the work of Jesus, who Jesus is, what Jesus came to do. How does a person go to heaven? The devil lies about all those things. And people believe the lies. And the Bible says that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. The whole world is cradled in the arms of the evil one. And don't let the world, Romans chapter 12, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The devil is constantly pushing toward a certain agenda. Now, he can't do anything unless God allows him to do it. But God does allow Satan to do a lot of things. And he, as Adrian Rogers once said, God uses the devil as his messenger boy. And God is working everything to a culmination that will fulfill his word. And there is going to be a one world government. And there is going to be an Antichrist who is going to rule and reign, and his reign of terror and horror. And he is going to be defeated at the Battle of Armageddon that's coming up. You can read about it in Revelation 19. But the Lord is allowing all these things to happen according to his plan and purpose. But now, here's what God doesn't want to happen. He doesn't want you to be deceived. He doesn't want you to be gullible. He doesn't want you to believe everything you hear. I'm very thankful for American Family Association, American Family Radio, because on this station, this network, we speak the truth in love, and we try and expose the deeds of darkness. The Bible says that in Ephesians 5. Don't participate in the deeds of darkness, but expose them so that people can see for themselves. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. And we are up against a break, but when we come back, we're going to be opening the phone lines. I would love to hear from you. You can call 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And if you have a question or a comment, I would welcome the opportunity to visit with you and to talk to you. So give me a call after the break and let's talk.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at afr.net.
As the world changes in an era of crisis, families throughout America are experiencing instability, fear, and great loss. While many are searching for answers in places of desperation, the position and mission of the church has never been more clear. It's time for us to leave the buildings and saturate the streets with redemptive hope and the love of Jesus. Saturate USA is a movement of churches and believers across America, uniting as one to reach every home with the love of the gospel. At saturateusa.org, you and your church can join the movement by adopting a zip code and receiving free neighborhood maps and evangelistic materials, including Jesus Film DVDs with free online streaming. Simply mobilize your volunteers, assemble your saturation packs with free materials and your own church's information, and then send out teams to distribute to homes. Let's partner together and see every zip code in America adopted for Christ. Join the movement at saturateusa.org.
American Family Radio listening family, this is Bible League International, and we've spent the last few weeks telling you about persecuted believers praying for Bibles to be able to endure and persevere in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. We told you about Pastor Roos's, whose three sons were murdered by a terrorist group that hates Christians, but rather than retaliate with violence, they invited these people to learn about Jesus. 200 have come to Christ. They need Bibles in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And in the Middle East, Pastor Yusuf and a deacon in his church were kidnapped in broad daylight. When the family could not pay the ransom, they kill the deacon, they torture Pastor Yusuf, but with conviction today, that brother can say, it's an honor to suffer for the Lord. AFR listening family, in the month of December, we're praying to bless 7,000 Bibleist believers in the regions of Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America for only $5 a Bible. $100 sends 20, $500 sends 100. Would you pray about it and call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org. And God bless you for caring.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about this question, how gullible are you? Do you accept things? Anything that comes across the television, comes across the internet, any mainstream media will tell you, you just, oh, that must be true because I heard Rachel Maddow say that on CNN or whatever it might be. Or do you check things out? Do you do your homework and do your due diligence? You know, when the COVID vaccine came out, I was skeptical of that because it was fast-tracked. And so how do you know what this does to a person long-term if you fast-track the whole thing? You can't do tests to determine that. Nobody would know what this will do to somebody 3, 4, 5 years down the road because they put it into the circulation for medical treatment after so many months. And so just skeptical. And now I've not met a single person who says, you know, I'm really, really sad that I never got the COVID vaccine. But you hear from a lot of people that said, I wish I had never gotten that. And many of the people that can't speak because they're dead from getting that with a blood clot or a heart attack or whatever. Now it's coming to the forefront that, guess what, all these conspiracy theorists, those who are doing their homework, and the doctors that have been ostracized from the medical community that were calling this stuff out, saying, hey, as one doctor called it, the poison clot shot, don't take it. It's going to hurt you. It's not going to help you. Your chances of getting COVID and fighting COVID are much, much better than getting that shot. Well, you know, all the lies we heard concerning COVID, and people are still holding to those lies. It's just insane. So, how gullible are you? Proverbs 14:15, fools believe every word they hear, but wise people think carefully about everything. And wise people think biblically about everything. What does the Lord say? What is the truth? And as the scripture says, consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And so we bring those gray areas, those things that we're not sure about, we bring them to the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know about this. Show me, because I don't want to believe a lie. I don't want to do something believing that's going to be good for me when it's actually bad for me. So, Lord, show me the truth. And God is faithful to guide us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's called the Spirit of Truth to guide us into all truth. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Max on the line from Ohio. Max, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I have one question. Of course, I've lived 930 months, and so I'm doing okay. I can forgive people in my past, but it seems like the family members don't want to forgive. And I really haven't done anything wrong. I live alone, lost two wives to death, to cancer. And I sit here in my home 54 years and wonder why I don't get calls from my grandkids and so forth.
But what would they say? Why would they not be contacting you?
Well, they were given information that's false, just like we get information from President Biden that's false and so forth. But
right.
I just want to know why I can't get forgiveness. And I know the Lord, my dad was a preacher. I grew up in the church, and I do the best I can. We've all sinned and come short of the glory, but I'm doing, you know, I follow the best I can, you see.
Yeah. Well, here would be my counsel, Max. I would want to know what they're saying about you that's false, and what they're saying about you that might be true, and you own the things that are true.
Yeah.
And you apologize for those things that you did. Sometimes that needs to be in a letter form, because if they're not going to talk to you, you can't really do it in person. But just say, you know, hey, I blew it here, here, and here, and I wronged you. I wasn't there when you were growing up, or whatever it was, you know, just whatever the situation was. But you apologize for it. And the Bible says in Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And so sometimes it's not possible, because that other person, you can't make them forgive you. You can ask for their forgiveness. You can own your sin and your part of the rupture in the relationship, and apologize for that. But then the ball's in their court. And so you can just continue to love them and pray for them, and ask God to soften their hearts. Sometimes, Max, there can be some issues that are so severe. I'm thinking about a guy I went to high school with that wrote me. He's in prison because he sexually abused two of his kids. And he said, you know, my family hates me. My wife and my kids hate me. Well, I can understand that. So all you can do at that point is, you know, hey, I was so wrong. I've hurt you so deeply. I've sought the Lord for his forgiveness. I'm asking you to forgive me. I understand that this is very, very difficult. And then just pray it through from that point and live a life that shows that, hey, as John the Baptist said, bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. And that's all you can do. What's done is done. The damage is done. And so you just ask God to clean up the mess that was made. But it starts in your own heart, and then God just has to take that and work it in their hearts. But I'll be lifting you up to the Lord, Max, and may God do a work, especially this holiday season, do a work in the hearts of your loved ones. We have Dennis on the line from Missouri. Dennis, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor.
Morning.
Blessings to you and your family. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and I love your ministry, and I try to listen to it regularly. I've got, I guess some would say, kind of a silly question, but I read in the first line of Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. And then later on in the Bible, I read about Jesus, where it says all things were created by him and for him. And sometimes I get confused as well. Who did create? I believe God created, but I'm confused as to what role Jesus played in this creation story.
Yes, great question, Dennis. So God exists in Trinity, and we read about that in Genesis 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And then God created man. But God created man, the God Elohim that's talked about Genesis 1:1 in the beginning, God is speaking of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we have that made clear when it says in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being by him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being." So Jesus is the creator God, along with the Father, along with the Holy Spirit. And so the Trinity created, but nothing was created without Jesus, because Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. And so it just strengthens the truth that Jesus Christ is God. He's God in the flesh. And, you know, God exists as God in three persons. We sing that song, Holy, 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 God in three persons, Blessed Trinity. And one way that I've used in sermons to describe the Trinity is with a equilateral triangle. And you have this triangle that has the same angle on every point, and three points, and the three points are identical. There's not three triangles. There's one triangle, and one triangle has three points, and every point is identical, but every point is separate. And that's the way that our minds can somehow grasp the Trinity. I mean, it's, we're not capable of understanding that. We're not capable of understanding how God can be eternal. But we just believe it because that's what the Scripture says. And so that encourages my own heart when I think about Christmas, how God became a man. God the Father didn't become a man. God the Son became a man. The second person of the Trinity became a man. And he was the one that was born of a virgin, placed in a manger, lived the perfect life, healed the sick, raised the dead. But the reason that he came was to seek and to save that which was lost, and to give his life a ransom for many. So I hope that's helpful, Dennis.
It is. It's just something I kind of struggle with, you know, as far as trying to understand it and all. But thank you, Pastor. I pray you have a very blessed day and a blessed Christmas. And I thank you for your ministry. Have a blessed day.
Thank you, Dennis. Thanks for calling, and thanks for listening. I appreciate you. We have Jay on the line from Texas. Jay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, Jeff, the first thing I thought about when I heard about the pardon was what would have happened to us if God the Father had pardoned his son after he was found guilty and he changed his mind. I'm sure when Jesus was praying in the garden, you know, "Father, is there not another way? Take this cup from me." You know, I'm sure that Biden's son was pleading with him the same way. Where would we be now if our Father.
Well, yeah, if Jesus had not gone to the cross or had come down from the cross, you know, as they were mocking him, hey, prove it that you're the Son of God, come down from the cross so that we will believe in you. If he came down from the cross, there would be nothing to believe in, because then he wouldn't be the Savior. He had to die for our sins, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, Hebrews 9:22. So it was critical that he drank every last drop of that bitter cup. Remember, he kept saying, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And so God the Father and God the Son, you know, we talk about the sufferings of Christ, and the sufferings are beyond comprehension. But the sufferings of the Father, who watched all that happen to his Son. Jay, I don't know if you're a father or not, but I have three girls. I would gladly take their punishment versus watching them suffer like that. It would just be so very, very difficult. So the love of the Father to give his Son is just something that is far, far beyond what our minds can comprehend.
And I'm sure I would have wanted to pardon my son, just like Biden did, and just like God probably wanted to pardon his son, but he just couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, the deal with Joe Biden pardoning his son, I think what makes it so bad is that he kept saying he wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to do that. He wasn't going to do that. And then he does it. And so if he had said up front, yeah, you bring charges against him, I'm going to pardon him. You know, if a guy is guilty, then he needs to face the consequences. Otherwise, we have a two-tier justice system, which obviously we do. You know, if you know the right people, you get off. But, you know, if Lady Justice is supposed to be blindfolded, you know, hey, it doesn't matter who you are. You are going to get justice. And that's not the case in America, because our justice system has gotten so corrupt. And if you have money, if you have power, if you have connections, you get a different verdict than somebody that doesn't. Or if you have become a political enemy, as we've seen with Donald Trump, then you get convicted of 32, 33 felonies, whatever they found against him. And nobody can really say what he did that was a crime, which is a crime in itself. So I appreciate it, Jay. Thanks for calling in. Well, we have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
It's always a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to be very quick and precise, and then I'll let you comment. First, I'm a Christian. Second, I'm an Aggie. Well, second, I'm a Navy veteran. Third, I'm an Aggie.
Okay.
So I will say it was a good game. I'm going to give Texas credit, because as a Christian, they made the plays they needed to make when they needed to make them. It was a fair and good game. There were a couple back calls. That's always the thing. Second, we, as you just stated, do live in a two-tier justice system. I try to teach my kids the thing for this country. However, we know that it's corrupt and evil because it says so. And then I face other people that when you try to convince them differently, or try to teach them what is the right way it should be working, they are, again, gullible as to that. Third thing on the vaccines, which that's questionable as well, as I was gullible in that I used to take everything at face value, but now I research because Christ is there. Have a good day, brother.
Hey, good word, Jerry. I appreciate it. And yeah, I love the Aggies. A lot of good Aggie friends. And I'm not one of those gloating Longhorns. I was pleasantly surprised that we won. I do think we had a better team, but that's rivalry game. You never know what's going to happen. Obi, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but thank you for calling in. And thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. And this program, How Gullible Are You?, might be one that you would want to share with a friend, a neighbor, a family member. We don't need to be gullible. We don't need to be deceived. We need to know the truth, walk in the truth, and spend time in the Word of God. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.